Okay, I'm going to send this probably to both to Dave and to Guy. So some time ago, I sent Dave a sample of me reading some text with a British narrator, and he had a few things to say about it, one of which was that I was falling into some of the like, it sounded good, but I was falling into some of the traps that often Americans will do when imitating a British accent, and that is inserting the Queen's speech to a greater extent than the vast majority of British people would actually do. He sent me some examples of narrators with that have a bit more of a measured tone. I don't remember any of their fucking names, but like the guy that narrated the Stanley Parable is apparently a huge goddamn name. What I've done here is try to integrate some of that, and I'm just going to read the first few paragraphs of Moby Dick, and just, like, what I'm asking for is anything that makes you say, ah, that's an American, okay? And thank you very much in advance. Call me Ishmael. Some years ago, never mind how long precisely, having little or no money in my purse and nothing particular to interest me on shore, I thought I would sail about a little and see the watery part of the world. It is a way I have of driving off the spleen and regulating the circulation. Whenever I find myself growing grim about the mouth, whenever it is a damp, drizzly November in my soul, whenever I find myself involuntarily pausing before coffin warehouses and bringing up the rear of every funeral I meet, and especially whenever my hypos get such an upper hand of me that it requires a strong moral principle to prevent me from deliberately stepping into the street and methodically knocking people's hats off, then I count it high time to get to sea as soon as I can. This is my substitute for pitchel and ball. With a philosophical flourish, Cato throws himself upon his sword, I quietly tank to the ship. There is nothing surprising in this, if they but knew it. All men in the degree, some time or other, cherish very nearly the same feelings towards the ocean with me. There is now your insular city of the Manhattoes, belted round by wharves as Indian Isles by coral reefs. Commerce surrounds it with her surf. Right and left, the streets take you waterward. Its extreme downtown is the Battery, where that noble mold is washed by waves and cooled by breezes, which a few hours previous were out of sight of land. Look at the crowds of water gazers there. Circumambulate the city of a dreamy Sabbath afternoon. Go from Corlea's Hook to Coenties Slip, and from there to Whitehall, northward. What do you see? Posted like silent sentinels all around the town stand thousands upon thousands of mortal men, fixed in ocean reveries, some leaning against the spiles, some seated upon the pierheads, some looking over the bulwarks of ships from China, some high aloft in the rigging, as if striving to get a still better seaward peep. But these are all landsmen, of weak days pent up in lath and plaster, tired to counters nailed to benches, clinched to desks. How then is this? Are the green fields gone? What do they here? But look, here come more crowds, pacing straight for the water and seemingly bound for a dive. Strange. Nothing will content them but the extremest limit of the land. Loitering under the shady lee of yonder warehouses will not suffice. No. They must get just as nigh the water as they possibly can without falling in. And there they stand, miles of them, leagues. Inland is all. They come from lanes and alleys, streets and avenues, north, east, south, and west. And yet here they all unite. Tell me, does the magnetic virtue of the needles of the compasses of all those ships attract them thither? Once more, say you're in the country, in some high land of lakes. Take almost any path you please, and 10 to 1, it carries you down in a dale, and leads you there by a pool in the stream. There's magic in it. Let the most absent-minded of men be plunged in its deepest reveries. Stand that man on his legs, set his feet a-going, and he will infallibly lead you to water, if water there be in all that region. Should you ever be athirst in the great American desert, try this experiment, if your caravan happen to be supplied with a metaphysical professor. Yes, as everyone knows, meditation and water are wedded forever.